You are listening to Thoughts with Duvall. Please note that the views and opinions offered by Duvall are not those of the Pop Culture Network or its affiliates. And now your host, Duvall.
Hey guys, welcome back to another Thoughts with Duvall. On a new day. That's right, I moved it, I didn't move it. We kind of had to move it from Tuesdays to Thursdays. Yeah, that's okay though. Here we are, another week, another Thoughts with Duvall. I've actually got a short show for you guys today. I wanted to relate some of my memories of toy aisles when I was growing up as compared to now. A number of weeks ago, I was in Toys R Us and looking around and just reminiscing on what it used to be like walking down toy aisles. And I figured that'd be something good to, you know, to talk about for a show. So I remember growing up, there's a lot of toy memories I have. The first real big toy memory I have of the toy aisles is walking into a Kmart with my grandfather. And on an end cap in their toy department, there was a full end cap of He-Man and Skeletors. And this was when the line first launched. Those are the only two figures available that I remember. I don't remember any other figures being on that end cap. I just remember it being He-Man and Skeletor. And I remember my grandfather buying me He-Man and Skeletor. And that's the first, like, real big memory I have of getting toys when I was younger, was those two key figures. And that was probably the biggest thing. I was born in 77, so by the time I was four, the downtown in our city, as well as most cities, was still kind of a hustling, bustling, business epicenter. I mean, that's where a lot of the major retailers were. Before there were big box retailers, they were downtown. And I remember one of our Kmarts, because we had a couple. One of them here was actually downtown. It was three stories. The first store you walked into was all, you know, women's and housewares. And the top, the second floor was all men's and appliances and tools and such. And then when you went to downstairs to the bottom floor, it was nothing but toys. I mean, their basement floor was just the entire toy department. I always thought that was really kind of cool. And I don't remember a whole lot of particulars about it. I just remember there being a lot of board games. I remember it being kind of small in my mind. But it was always kind of cool to me. Now I think that that building is actually a bunch of office buildings now. But that was always kind of cool to me. I remember distinctly walking into Toys R Us, and this is before the retail businesses got that great idea where they're like, we're going to make everything physically appealing to the eye, and we're going to have all these aisles and these little center displays and all that. And this is back when Toys R Us was nothing but you walked in and it was just straight aisles all the way back as far as you could go. I remember you would walk into our Toys R Us and you walk around the glass partition that used to be there, that used to hide the cart corral on the other side. So you'd walk around that, walk actually into the store. And the minute you walked in the store on your left, or on your right, I'm sorry, was just like, aisles of glass cases where all the video games and electronics were. And this was, this was in the 80s when Nintendo was big, when TurboGrafx 16 was just coming out. You had the Sega Genesis, you had all this cool stuff. And there were just glass cases as far as the eye could see, literally. I mean, it was just all the way back, everything you could imagine. Keyboards, game systems, all that stuff was at cameras, the 35mm cameras back then. I remember seeing those, they were in the cases. And then you'd walk back into the toy department and it was just, these huge footage of aisles. Excuse me. I'm really tired, guys. I apologize. These huge, long, aisles of just amazing amounts of toys. And it was really cool to see. It was really, really cool. I remember I was really sad when they decided to, reimagine Toys R Us's setup and they got rid of all that. And I remember how ultimately very sad I was to see that go. Because that was a big thing to me. That was a big part of my childhood was all of those, just the way that Toys R Us looked. You know, you'd walk through the boys' aisle and the boys would transfer into girls' aisle and the Legos were down, you know, at the very end of the aisle there on one side, and it was just really cool. There's a lot of toy lines I remember going in and seeing too. I remember walking into Ventures when Venture, I think there's still a couple of Ventures left in the United States, but I remember when our Venture was here, you walk in and, actually before it was Ventures, it was Zares. I remember walking into Zares and, walking through their toy aisle and just remember seeing, Spiral Zone on the shelf and tons of it. I remember Spiral Zone was a huge thing when it first came out. There was so much of it and it was such a unique toy line. I mean, here you had, you know, a line that hadn't been done since the 70s, since Mego went out of business, but you had this 8-inch style, for its time, highly articulated figure, you know, fully clothed, with really cool accessories. You know, these things, they came, they were just really cool. And then you had, you know, a very short-lived TV series, a comic series that lasted a long time for it. I just remember Spiral Zone being a big thing. I remember going into Kmart and when Power Lords was out. And for those of you who don't know what Power Lords is, go look it up because it's a very, very cool old line. But I remember walking in and looking at Power Lords and getting Adam Power and getting one of the vehicles and the villain of that line. And it was just really cool to me. There's just a lot of great stuff that businesses don't do anymore for toys. I mean, if you look at Toys R Us and how it looks now, it's all systematically set up and they don't carry, no one carries nearly the amount of toys that they used to. I mean, when Toys R Us had straight aisles, there was so much product and they always had something cool. There was always something new on the shelves. There was always something to look at. Now it's, you go into a Toys R Us and the shelves are just empty and barren and it's like, what does this company not understand how to fill up their shelves? I mean, when we worked there, I understand. I worked there for 7 years. And when I was there, it was like you would get a truck and it would be half a truck and there'd be nothing on it. There, you know, half the truck was all big ticket items and baby stuff. And you're like, where the heck is all the toys? Why is it just this crap that we're getting? You know, so the toy aisles are always constantly seemingly empty in that store, and it's kind of sad, really. It's kind of sucky to look at and go, man, I remember when the toys used to be at a toy store, and now they're not here anymore. So, my mom actually used to work for Hills. You remember, Hills is where the toys are. She worked for Hills for as long as they were open here in town, and Hills, to me, always had the coolest toy displays because they had, they had the front end caps that were just like all plexiglassed off. And inside they had displays set up of G.I. Joe and Transformers. And, you know, Hills opened up right, you know, in the middle of the 80s here. They had such a huge toy department compared to, I mean, you had Toys R Us, and they were huge, but Hills had the biggest toy department of any retail store that I remember today. And I remember, you know, you would walk down an aisle, and it'd be nothing but Transformer stuff. Just the whole aisle was nothing but Transformer stuff. The next aisle was nothing but G.I. Joe. You know, they had the USS Flag boxes, like, stacked up on an aisle, on the side of an aisle, you know, with a big sign on it that said $99.99. And I was like, oh, I'm going to save up $100, and I'm going to buy that thing. I didn't. I never did. I'm still kind of sad to this day that I didn't. But I just remember, you know, they just had the greatest toy displays, man. I mean, just seriously. It was one of those things you'd walk in every time, and you'd immediately go to the toy aisle and go, oh, what's new? And there on the end cap, they'd have the hottest new toy, you know, whether it was G.I. Joe, or whether it was at the time, you know, the Transformers, or I'm trying to think of other toys that were in there. Sky Raiders was in there. They had a huge display set for Sky Raiders when it was out, and it was touted as the next hot thing. Air Raiders was in there, and that was a huge thing. Just a lot of cool stuff, man. I mean, I wish that toys were still a major deal as they were in the 80s. Because if you think about it now, the toy industry is not nearly as huge as it was in the 1980s. I mean, Toy Fair itself is a sham of what it used to be. You know, in the 80s through even the early mid-90s. And then about 98, 99, they started to pull back, you know. A lot of the major toy companies, because it used to have the Toy Fair, it used to be in the Javits Center, and it used to be in, like, the Toy Fair Park. I can't think of what the real name is, but it's actually, you know, a whole series of buildings that the toy industry actually owned, and a lot of these toy companies leased out yearly, where they had their showrooms, you know, they had their some of their East Coast offices, so they had a lot of stuff, and that's kind of gone away, and that's kind of sad, but the toy industry is just nothing like it used to be. And I really kind of wish that it was. I wish the toy industry was still what it once was. Because, my God, the toy industry was just an amazing thing. I mean, when you look at this, the amount of support it had at retail compared to what it is now. You know, you go into a Meijer or a Walmart, and you kind of walk in the toy aisles, and there's a handful of aisles for boys' toys. There's a ton of aisles for girls' and babies' toys, and that's it. You know, back in the day, there was aisles of this stuff. I mean, it took up half a store, and it's sold. And not that it's not selling today, it is. But, you know, in the 80s, in the late 70s, early 80s, it was just a huge, huge industry boom. You know, and the unfortunate thing is, and I hate to say this because I play video games, but the video game industry has kind of taken over the toy industry for the most part, because now most kids, when they're at the age I was at the 80s, in the 80s, all they do now is play video games. That's all they're doing now is playing video games constantly. And that is very, very sad. It's a sad thing to see. It's a sad thing to know that that's happening, that, you know, the toys, you used to be able to go outside with your toys, use your imagination, you know, and now video games have just taken over all that. And it kind of sucks that, you know, there aren't kids outside. I mean, I still see a lot of kids in my neighborhood out here playing kickball or riding bikes. But for the most part, man, most of the kids are inside playing video games or watching TV. And I don't know. I kind of wish for the old days where you could, you know, grab your Joes and go over to a buddy's house and hang outside and create these huge epic battles, or, you know, take all your Transformers and go to a buddy's living room when it's raining and just, you know, have a good time, you know. Kind of sad. Kind of sad. When you think about it, it is really kind of sad. But guys, like I said, a short show. I apologize. You know, my wife and I have been doing a lot around the house, painting, boxing up a lot of stuff, trying to get this house ready to sell, and it's really eating up a lot of my time, and it's, you know, to me, it's far more important right now, and I apologize. I know that sounds really bad and makes me sound like an awful, awful host, but selling this house and moving into a better house is something that has kind of taken over my priorities right now. So, you know, that's just one of those things where you guys might have some short shows for me for a few weeks until we get this house show ready. But it's a lot of painting. It's a lot of cleaning. Just a lot of work. So, you know, I'm busting our butts going into work at 6 a.m., getting off at 2:30, and then working from like 3 to almost 9 o'clock every night, getting stuff ready. So, a lot of work, guys. So I apologize. I hope you understand. You know, I just really, really want to get out of this house. I want to find a nice house somewhere that, you know, we can call our own, because this, even though this, my wife owns this house, it isn't our house, unfortunately. And yeah, the guys can give me crap. Well, you moved in there. Yeah, well, I did move in here because she needed someone, but that's another story for another day. So, well, gang, until next time, I hope you continue to listen. I want to thank all the fans for all the great words of kindness that they've given me on the message boards over some of my past shows. I appreciate it.
Very, very much appreciate it. I'm glad you guys enjoy the show. Leave me some topics that you'd like me to talk about. I know there's still some that I haven't talked about that you guys have left. I'm going to get to them. You know, keep leaving topics. You know, I'd love to hear from you guys. I'd love to hear what you think of the show. As always, you know, as always, make sure you listen to It Figures every week on, you know, on Wednesdays. Make sure you check out the new, you know, that new Toy Smell on Saturdays and all the great shows over the Pop Culture Network that we host and that we produce. So make sure you guys continue viewing, continue listening. Until next week, gang, I'm Duvall, and this has been Thoughts with Duvall.